So, you know that for the duration of Lent, we have been studying what it is. You know, we didn't do it, did we?
We didn't read. Oh, it wasn't on here. You didn't do it, yeah. Call
did
to worship.
Did we miss it? Yes, we did. So, for those of you at home and those of you who have a bulletin, we're going to do this because it's our call to worship. And even though we're worshiping already, you know, we're going to do it anyway. Are you ready? It's at the beginning of the thing. It says, call to worship. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything else in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. Now, that's the introduction to today's message because that's what we have been working on each and every Sunday for Lent. The first is that we love God, right? With everything we've got. Everything. It's not just partial, it's everything. And that we love ourselves. And we have discovered that sometimes that is a difficult journey. But we've also discovered that if we're going to love those around us, then we have to figure out how to love ourselves. We have to figure out that because God loves us, that we can love ourselves as well. Amen? So today, it's about communication. It's how do we communicate this stuff. And the Beatitudes, you've heard them before, but you're going to hear them today. And we're going to talk about what Jesus was trying to get to us. Beginning with the fifth chapter, first verse. When Jesus saw that his ministry was drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. And those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed along with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions by saying, you are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and God's rule. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You are blessed when you are content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. I want you to listen to that again because that was the welcome to the new week for us to really concentrate on is you are blessed when you are content with who you are. No more, no less. That is the moment that you find yourselves the proud owners of everything that can't be bought. When we talk about loving yourself, that's the key. Because you can't buy that. There's nothing that you can do physically to convince anybody that you love yourself. It is between you and God. It is why I have you all, or I've been encouraging you all, to get up in the morning and the first thing you do is look in the mirror. And what do you say to that image in the mirror? You are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God, and that is enough. Take a breath. And then ask yourself, what am I going to do with that? Well, here, you can be content. You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get inside your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and where your place is in God's family. You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. That persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You need to hear that one again. When people are lying about you, man, when people are coming up with stories about you or they're making judgments about you, it's all because they are uncomfortable. The truth is a little too close. Amen. I love that. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and the witnesses have always gotten into that kind of trouble. Okay, so that's the gospel. That comes from the Message, by the way, which is a little different interpretation, translation than what you're used to. My notes that I had for this morning, I think I took it from the NIV. And that's just because I come up with this story that I wanted you to hear. I don't know that it has anything to do with anything, but I thought it was cute. There's a story, you know.
It works.
Yeah. Man and wife, man. The power mower at their house broke down. And so the grass kept getting longer and longer. And the wife kept bugging the husband to get the power mower fixed. And of course, you know how that goes. We've all been in relationships where something's supposed to get done, it just doesn't get done, right? And so she tried everything, and she began hinting to her husband that it was time to get that mower fixed. But somehow her hints didn't work. The message never sank in. And so she thought of a clever way to make her point. When her husband arrived home one day, he found her seated in the tall grass on the front lawn, busily snipping away, one blade at a time, the grass with a small pair of shears. The husband watched her for a few moments. He went into the house and soon came back with a toothbrush. He handed it to her and said, "When you get through, you might want to sweep the sidewalks." The doctors say he will walk again, but it'll probably be with a limp. It's all about communication, right? It's about how we say this. And that's why I thought that story was cute, because how many times have we heard the Beatitudes and we never look at this as a roadmap to how to live our lives? That we don't look at this as Jesus teaching us how to love ourselves. How many of us have heard that? You know, we're supposed to love ourselves. How do we do it? And Jesus sat right there with this group of people and started giving us that lesson. For instance, blessed, and I'm going to give you the NIV translation now, but you can follow if you want in the Message. It's a little bit different. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does poor in spirit mean? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Humble? No. No, it doesn't mean you don't like yourself. Humble is one part of it. Yeah, go ahead. Huh?
Realizing you buy yourself
and
you're against, because that's like
worlds
against you.
Okay.
Want to
take a shot, Alice?
Nope.
Okay. Because poor in spirit is an odd phrase to us. You all are defining it by what? 21st century?
Terms.
It actually, in religious circles, meant, and especially those that were more conservative, it's about spiritual poverty. It's about recognizing that our relationship is not as good as it can possibly be with God. And so Jesus turned around and said, don't worry about that. If you've got a relationship, then you're blessed. How do you love yourself? You got to recognize that you're good enough. It comes out of that doubt that we have that we're not good enough. And yet Jesus sat there and said, look, you're blessed. Whenever you have that relationship, you are absolutely blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The Free Bible, which is a different translation, says, blessed are those who grieve, for they shall be consoled. You know, there is absolutely nothing when we lose someone close to us. You know, I'm dealing with my mom, and my mother's dealing with those end-of-life issues. There are others of us that have lost someone close to us. And I know there's always people that want to say to us, I'm praying for you. What we really need to hear, if we're going to practice this love, is to console them, to hug them. Whether it's cyber, or whether it's in person, or whatever, let them know that you hear and feel their pain. That is what it is to be consoled. That is what it is about to love one another as yourself. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In the Greek literature, do you know what the word Greek meant? Because everybody thinks, what do you all think meek means now? Today?
Not being prideful.
Okay. What else?
I think it's someone that's doesn't have a lot of energy. Their spirit's down.
Yeah, that's the way I've always read it. If you're meek, you're weak.
Yeah,
I'm a poet, didn't know it. No, but I, you know, that's the way we read it, right? Is if you're meek, somehow you're weak. But in the old Greek literature, it meant gentle or soft. What's the name of the church? Gentle Spirit Christian Church. If you're gonna practice loving yourself, it means that you've got to be easy on yourself, amen? If you're easy on yourself, then you're going to be easy on others, amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I already know that in today's world, we think of righteousness, we think about that as being right and wrong, we think about court, all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to give you a couple examples of what righteousness according to theology is. In the book of Amos in the Old Testament, speaking out against oppression in public. And in James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, James called the disciples to look after the orphans and the widows that are in distress. Don't get polluted by the world's way of judging you. Amen? You know, what is it? We live in the United States of America, you know, and this is where I always get in trouble because I'll sit there and say, look, capitalism has got nothing to do with our faith, right? Capitalism says the one with the most toys when they die wins. Jesus, on the other hand, said, give it all away. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Be patient with other people's quirks. If you're going to love yourself, be patient with your own quirks. Any of you have quirks? Don't raise your hand. But you know what your quirks are. You know what your little oddities are. That God Almighty, you don't want anybody to know. Well, be patient with them. It's okay. They're there. Help anyone around you that's hurting. Give people a second chance. Amen? What the world is lacking in that part, and do you get loving yourself? You get a second chance. If you get a second chance, so do people around you. Be kind to those who offend you. Build bridges to the unpopular. You know, that was part of that reading. You know, the peacemakers. We think about peacemakers, I think, at least if you're my age, you always go back to the 60s and, you know, the hippies and all that kind of stuff, the peace sign and all that kind of stuff. It meant to be anti-war. But actually, peacemakers, the way Jesus is talking about it, is talking about building bridges. You remember the story about the two brothers that had a horrible fight? They shared land next to each other. And the one brother put up a fence that the other brother didn't like. And so the brother got mad and hired a contractor to build an even higher fence. And that brother got mad about that and built an even more complicated fence. And the other brother was like, hey, I've had it. And he goes out and he hires a contractor to build the ultimate fence so he'd never have to see his brother again. Well, it took 2 days, and when he came out to see what the contractor had done, the contractor had tore down both fences and built a bridge across the property lines so that they had to talk to one another. They had to look one another in the eyes. Value your relationship over rules. You know, we've talked about in this church for a long time. This is no rules, just God. If your concern for somebody is more important than the rules, then you're loving as you love yourself. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How do you get pure in heart? You want to please God. You live transparently. In other words, and I've told you this about Billy and I when we first met. You know, one of the things I said to him early on in a relationship was that I thought I was falling in love with him, right? And he looked at me and goes, well, I like you too. And I was like, wait a minute, did you hear what I just said? Do you know what I just said to you? And he looked at me and he said, look, I get where you're going, and I'm not inclined to stop you. I'm just not there yet, and here it comes. I will never say anything to you that I don't mean. Folks, in June, we'll celebrate 40 years, and that's the peg that relationship got hung on. It's exactly what pure relationships with God and with each other are all about. People should be able to count on what you say. But, and we already talked about the peacemakers. And what about the people that are persecuted? I know that, you know, this is probably one of the hardest things that we deal with because we're like, well, no, we live in a world that teaches us to get even and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it doesn't start there. It starts with the little slights that we get each day. You know, TV does it to us, don't they? They have all these commercials about all the cosmetics that you're supposed to buy to make yourself look better. All the clothes that you're supposed to buy to make yourself look important.
And feel better.
And feel better about yourself. How about those people that don't like who you voted for? How about those people that don't understand why you're not going to go out and party and get so drunk that you can't drive home? You know, I remember that was one of the hardest things for me, being a pastor in a church, was one of the first times that I went to one of our hangouts in our community, you know, because I was coaching a hockey team, and they all went for a beer, right? I walked into that establishment. I wasn't in that establishment for, I don't know, 20 minutes, maybe. It wasn't 2 days after that the rumors were all over town. Did you hear it about the pastor? He was seen in a bar drinking. And I was so mad. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's what this lesson is all about. If I love myself, if I love God, it doesn't matter what y'all think. Y'all can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't affect me because I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with myself. And because I have that, guess what? That's the other part of it, right? What does God require that we do? That we be fair, that we be merciful, and that we be humble in our relationship. And this is exactly what Jesus has taught us today. With these Beatitudes, it is that road that is less traveled. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, and that's about all the stuff that we look at and don't do. But this is really the real road that is less traveled. We don't do these things because they're hard. I'm challenging you today in this Lent. If you love God, then do this. If you love yourself, then do this. If you love those people around you, then you'll most certainly do these things. God bless you. Amen.